It's Triple M Aussie right around the country. I've been looking forward to this for such a long time. One of the greats of Australian music industry, management, radio, the one and only Glenn Wheatley. How are you, man? What's going on?
Matt, I'm very well. Well, apparently Universal want to make me a chart act again. They've just re-released my old band, the Masters Apprentices Choice Cuts album that we recorded in Abbey Road. And they said they want to make me a chart act again. What's all that about?
50 years, man. Time flies, right?
50 years. Can you believe that? I can't believe it. The album actually still stacks up, mate. I listened to it the other day and I thought, oh, it wasn't too bad for it. I mean, I was 22 when I was in Abbey Road, swinging 60s in London. Oh. And oh my God, you know, this 22-year-old, blonde hair down to his, you know, shoulder blades.
But it's such a great album, man. Like tracks like New Day, which I love, I'm Satisfier, Caddy, and, you know, Because I Love You, you know, you're right. It is a solid album. What's it like looking back on an album you recorded such a long time ago and, you know, you still really love it and embrace it? And does it feel like yesterday you were recording those songs?
Sort of does, mate. I mean, I guess because I'm the layerizing bass player, that's why I like Rio de Camiro, because it lets me show off.
It's a good track, good opening track.
As the bass player, I get to, you know, show off and, you know, do this whole little riff that I did all the way through this thing. But I loved it. I mean, I love those songs. They actually still stack up. As I said, I feel good about it. I'm proud of it.
Now, the writing of these songs is so interesting. I've never met anyone who wrote an entire album on a boat. is the first.
We won Battle of the Sounds, and the trip was they put us on a ship and sent us to England. Well, that trip took 6 weeks.
This is what I want to get.
But those ships were pretty slow in those days. You know? Yeah. They didn't get over about 10 miles an hour. Most of the songs were written on board. That's where they all came from. I mean, Because I Love You came out of that.
Wow.
Rio de Camiro was a jam. It started out us just tinkering around trying to fill in time because we had to perform every night.
Yeah.
I mean, they said, here's your trip to London. The bad news is you're going to have to play every night.
All right. So the ship was called the Fairski. Now, what was your first impressions once you got on? Was everyone in the same room? What was the setup? Can you paint the picture for us?
Well, they did put us all in the one room. Yikes. On the very first night. It didn't last very long. There was a revolt. We're going, are you serious? I mean, we expect at least to have our own rooms. We won. Remember? We won this prize.
So I'm guessing if the Fairski's the Titanic, you're staying in more a Jack-esque room rather than a rose up the top.
It was not a rose up the top, mate, let me tell you. It was below the waterline. And all we used to hear all night was these logs thumping down the side of the boat as we're plowing our way through.
Really?
It felt like, buddy, you know, there was, I don't know what they hit, but they used to hit things all the time. Bang, bang, bang. And you'd be sitting in your cabin, the water's just there. I mean, we're below the waterline, you know, where there was no windows for us, for the Masters Apprentices, no. But anyway, it was okay. We still managed to enjoy ourselves. You know, we were 22.
That's what I mean. Like, what was a day-to-day thing? So you wake up, you go have some breakfast, and then what, you'd be jamming in your room, and then you go play?
Well, it was an Italian boat line, so the announcements were basically in Italian. And you know, we'd always wake up because we'd play all night, and we'd finish late, and we'd end up on the deck with a few tinnies and the things that you used to do on ships.
Those bloody Australians.
Bloody Australians. We'd wake up about midday, and it was always, and today, this afternoon, we have horse racing. Horse racing.
What do you mean?
What the hell is horse racing? So, horse racing was, they used to have these gambling little things because you could do all sorts of stuff on boat. Duty-free booze.
Ah.
You can gamble. You're outside the borderlines of the country. So in those days, horse racing was, you could bet on these horses that they used to run around on the deck, you know. Oh, I was insane, mate. But it was fun. I mean, as I said, we're at 22 years of age, you're fearless, you know. So it doesn't matter, you know. Whatever's coming your way. No, it was fun. It was even better getting to London and swinging London in the swinging 60s, and then here we are at Abbey Road. Oh my God!
So how did that happen? How did you guys end up at Abbey Road?
Well, I got onto EMI and said I made the phone call to find out if the studio time was available. And I said I had to call London back to Sydney and go, we want to do an album. I said, yes. I said, and we want to do it at Abbey Road. I said, And let's think about that. They didn't have long to think. They came back and said, yes, we'll fund an album. It wasn't a massive budget. It was all very tight in those days. But it was Abbey Road.
Oh.
And it was, you know, and here we were in Studio 2, the same studio as the Beatles.
Yeah. We're
sitting at the black piano that, and we're all trying to pretend to play, you know, yesterday, all thinking we're Paul McCartney, you know. And then walking across the zebra crossing at Abbey Road, you know, who's going to be Paul today? Who's going to be Ringo? You know,
yeah.
We did this.
Wow, man, what a time. And what was it like coming back after a trip like that? It's almost just like, did you tell your friends that they didn't believe you?
Well, I don't think anyone could believe us. I mean, you've done what? You recorded an album in Abbey Road. And I said, yep, choice cuts, and here it is. But we were the bit of the envy. But, mate, it was an extraordinary period of time for us as a band, as the Masters Apprentices. But we were on top of the world, you know, and we came back to Australia, and it was all wonderful because the crowds were still there, and we did enjoy a great following in Australia, there's no doubt. And it was terrific.
I read a quote the other day that someone said, if they're easy beats of the Beatles, the Masters Apprentices are the Rolling Stones. Did it feel like that?
The old Stan Roth from 3XY, the 3U's out, I should say. Yeah. The famous Stan, he used to always have that coin that, you know, this is Australia's Rolling Stones.
That's so cool.
And of course, in those days, we used to go in and see Stan. It was different with radio in those days because we used to just knock on the door at 9 o'clock at night. Because that Stan was doing the night shift,
and
we'd have our new single, and we go, Stan, we're bringing our new single. Oh, come on up! So we'd all pile into the studio, and here we are, all the studio doing live. And Stan plays the record. He says, Stan Roth thinks that's so nice. He's going to play it twice, and then play it again. I mean, does it happen like this in Australia these days? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, you need a key pass to get up for a start.
And you've got to sign away your firstborn. You know, I mean, it's a bit different these days. I mean, we were a cottage industry in those days. It was simple. We were naive. It was a bit easier.
Man, I mean, what was it like making that change? Like you're saying, adapting. What was it like going from music to management? Was that a pretty natural thing for you, or?
Well, it was. I mean, I was very unhappy with our manager at the time. I mean, I had to sack him, and because the penny fell for me one night when the Masters Apprentices were in Brisbane Festival Hall. In those days, we'd sold it out. Screaming kids, hysterical kids everywhere.
Yeah.
They rushed the stage. They ripped all my clothes off. They ripped all Jim Key's clothes off.
Yeah.
And the cops came and closed the show because. I said, well, you know, we're indecently exposed, and they closed the show because we're down to our jockettes.
What?
It's that night back at the Lennon's Hotel. I mean, I'm still thinking about, God, hang on, the promoter's running around going, we had a bigger crowd than the Beatles. And I'm sitting here going, hang on, my manager sold us up here for $200. This guy, we sold out Festival Hall, we were the headline act, and we got $200.
Yeah.
Hang on, I figured out that that's divided by four in the band, that's $50 each. I spent 70 on my velvet suit that was ripped to shreds. So this actually cost me $20 tonight.
Yeah.
And it was the headline attraction. There's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
You know, and so I sat down there that night. As I said, the penny fell in. I devised that we should be doing door deals. We should be paid commensurate to our drawing power. We don't have set fees anymore. What's going to happen first? Well, I've got to sack the manager and I'm going to take over.
Yeah.
There was no one else in the wings. So I took over management of the band and that's where I stayed, mate.
Yeah. And I mean, it really does help kind of being in a band and seeing it from the band's perspective as well, rather than not having any experience being in that bubble too. Like that must have helped you, you know, going forward as well.
Mate, it helped me everywhere. It helped me with Little River Band, with Australian Crawl, you know, with John Farnham. I mean, what I was doing for those guys was what I would have liked to have done for me.
Yeah.
So it was easy. And I'd been there. I'd been on stage. I'd been there on stage when you die, when you don't go over. I've been on stage when you kill them, when you got them in your hand, you know. So I knew the ups and the downs of what it's like to be a performer. And all I could do for my artist that I was managing at the time was do for them what I would have liked to have done for me. Simple.
Absolutely, man. And of course, enjoyed amazing success and a little bit to do with the station that we're on now, the old Triple M2. Can you tell us about the early days at Eon?
Well, the story about FM was I broke Little River Band America on FM radio.
Yeah.
And I was coming back to Australia and I'm still listening to 3XY.
Yeah.
All AM radio. So why don't we have FM radio?
Yeah.
So, mate, for the next 2 years, I walked Parliament House carpet threadbare, trying to convince every politician I could run into why we needed to have FM radio in Australia. The problem was We'd given the FM band away 50 years ago to fire, police and ambulance, the essential services. Yeah. So I had to convince everybody, we should put the essential services up in UHF where they belong. Mm. We free up the FM band, we've got a whole new business. I finally convinced the government of that rationale, and so the tenders came out, and I won the first tender for Melbourne, being Eon FM.
Wow.
It was only 2 days ago we had our 41st birthday, commemorating the day, because it was July 11, 1980, so that when we first went to air, and we were the first station, FM station, to go to air. I mean, and I wanted to be the first so badly, and the studio was lined with egg cartons, held up with chicken wire.
Whoa.
And the smell of soldering irons was still rife in the air as we're going to air. I just remember we were put together by alligator clips, you know, but we got to air. We were the first to go to air, and Eon FM, of course, I would later change its name to Triple M.
Yeah.
And but that's the heritage of your good station. The best memories I ever had was of Eon FM, and then changing it that day that we changed it to Triple M was monumental, and it will always be with me.
Oh, we're all indebted to you, Glenn, for, you know, for so many reasons. I had a quick question. Do you remember the first song you played on Triple M? Or Eon FM, sorry.
Eon FM, the first song we played was New Kid in Town by the Eagles.
Cool.
New Kid in Town. Because we were the album rock station, if you understand. You know, we were going to play album rock, and we were going to play all those crash singles that 3XY were playing, you know, those AM stations.
Yeah.
So we were a bit, you know, smarty pants, you know, attitude in those days. But we did have the first FM, and we did have the first, and Eon was a very special time of my life. There's no doubt about it. And it just reminds me, I want your job, okay?
I'm sure if you asked for it, Glenn, you'd get it quite easily. I'll just have to help you work the panel.
No, I'll do the panel. No, don't worry about that.
Hey, the panel's changed since your last used one. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. They have to. It's like I've got a couple of stations on the Sunshine Coast, and our OBs today, I regale in the stories about how we used to do OBs in my time at Eon FM and Triple M. We used to have big trucks with mixing desks and equipment and cable, 100 yards of cable, 3 inches fat, and satellite dishes on the roof of these things. So we're trying to now, of course, it's an i12, an iPhone, and an iPad Mini. That's it. And the kids, they look at me and say, "God, you're living in the old days." I said, "No. Yes, we had these giant vans, and now I'm doing an OB, and it's on an iPad and an iPhone." What the hell's all that about?
Glenn, thanks so much for chatting, man. Like I was saying before off air, I'd love to get you in and co-host, and you pick some songs, take control for a night.
I really will take your job then, won't I? So I'll take you up on that. I'm there.
Yeah, done, mate. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Congrats on the re-release of this, you know, iconic Australian album. The story behind it is amazing. And you're, like you said earlier, it still holds up today. Great songs, great recordings. And we're really appreciative for everything you've done, especially here for us at Triple M.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. I just got to live with the fact that Universal want to make the Masters Apprentices a child act again. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
anyway, after 50 years.
Do you reckon you can get back into those pants you used to wear?
Nah.
Yeah.
in a word, nah.
You might need another velvet suit.
No. I can do it. Go a velvet suit.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, mate. Nice to talk to you.